Morning. Thank you to the praise team and to Todd for that wonderful time of singing. Really appreciate that. Wonderful songs. I was thinking about people that I have met over the years, and people that, you know, we meet a lot of people in life, but there are certain ones I think that would stand out in our minds that you really recall having met, and it made an impact on your life. I was thinking about when I was an examiner working for the driver license section there with the state, and I remember this lady coming in one time, and the line, of course, was, as usual, backed out to the door, and this lady, she just bypasses the line, and she walks right up to me, and she said, I'm here to get my license renewed. And I said, well, do you have an appointment? And she said, no, I don't have an appointment. And so I said, well, you're going to have to stand, get in the back of the line, and then, you know, when it's your turn, we'll be glad to help you. And she said, well, I don't have an appointment, but God told me to come to the front of the line. Now, how do you argue with that? And so I said, well, ma'am, if you don't have an appointment, I'm sorry, you're just going to have to get in the back of the line. And she said, well, you don't understand. She said, God told me to come to the front of the line. And I thought, well, there's no way I'm going to argue with her, and that's the reason we have supervisors. So I called my supervisor in, and supervisor said, look, I explained to her what was said, and she said, my supervisor just had a way of saying things very bluntly. She said, look, I don't know what God you've been talking to, but he didn't tell me, so get in the back of the line. That lady, though, I will never forget, she, as she was going out the door, she waved her hand over the whole office, and she said, I pronounce a curse over this whole office. And I thought to myself, don't you know we're already working for the state? I mean, you know. But anyway, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, thinking about people maybe that we have met. I remember I was thinking about a neighbor, a neighbor of ours who several years ago went to go meet a political candidate. And when she went, there was a lot of security, of course. And so as she drove up to where they allowed people to park, they had dogs that were there to sniff around the cars. Well, these dogs, when they got around her car, they went kind of crazy. And so they made her get out of her car. They actually towed her car away, and they searched the vehicle. They couldn't find anything, and so they finally figured out. They explained to them how many cats they have in the neighborhood, and figured it was just cats that was causing those dogs to go crazy over her car. And she went through all that to meet this political candidate. Have you... Think about people that you have met and how they have changed your life, maybe made an impact on your life. And I know, looking back, of course, when I was 14 years old, that's when I met Jesus Christ. And that's when he changed my life. And I know if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can look back at that time when you had a meeting that changed your life. It wasn't just an ordinary meeting. It wasn't a meeting with a political candidate. It wasn't a meeting with a crazy head coming in to get their license renewed. But it was with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he changed your life. What I'd like to look at today is an individual who had the same type of a meeting. So if you would, in Luke chapter 5, let's begin reading in verse number 12, Luke 5 and verse 12. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And so here in Luke 5, we meet an individual. And this individual is in desperate straits, but he has a meeting. He has a meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ that changes his life. And the first thing that I would like for us to notice about this man, this individual, is that he is one person singled out. One person singled out. If you go back up to verse number 1 here in Luke chapter 5, it says, "And so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake Gennesaret." When we get down to the end of the passage that we read, verse number 15, it says, "However, the report went about concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear." And so in the beginning of the chapter, we find there's multitudes, there's crowds of people gathering around the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to the end of this passage, we find that there's multitudes again trying to get around to the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we go to verse number 12, it says, "And it happened when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man that was full of leprosy." A man. Here we find there was one person. You know, can you imagine what it was like for the Lord Jesus Christ that when the word got around with the miracles that he was doing, things and the teachings that were coming from his lips that no one had heard before, that he spoke with authority. He said things that no one else was saying. He was doing things that were showing evidence that he, in fact, was the Son of God. Crowds gathering around, people with all sorts of maladies, wanting to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And here was one person singled out. You know, when you think about the crowds like that, isn't it remarkable that you can see that the Holy Spirit has it recorded for us that it wasn't just the multitudes that Jesus cared for, but it was the individual. It was that one person who was singled out, that had a meeting with the Lord that changed him. Now, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can think back to a day in your life when you remember specifically when the Lord spoke directly to your heart, when he singled you out as an individual. And it could be that there is someone right here in the crowd that we're gathering here to meet together right now, this morning. And maybe you've never felt singled out. Maybe you just kind of felt lost in the crowd. You know, some people kind of like being lost in the crowd. Sometimes we don't want to be singled out. It's a lot easier when we're not singled out, when we just kind of get lost. I know when I was in school, I was always really shy. And I always liked to not be singled out. I never raised my hand to answer questions. And I kind of sat in the back and didn't hardly say anything. I was too shy to say much. And I didn't want to be singled out. But you know, I'm thankful for the day the Lord singled me out. I'm thankful for the day when I knew he was speaking directly to my heart. And that I lost sight of the whole crowd that may have been there listening and the Lord speaking to, but I knew he was speaking to me. And I knew that he was singling me out. My prayer this morning, that if there's one here, that maybe you have felt lost in the crowd, maybe you've never been singled out by the Holy Spirit, I pray that the Word of God will so speak to your heart that you will be just like this man. You know, our brother Todd was pointing out into the songs that we were singing how when we were singing asking the Lord to reign in us, and then he brought it down to the individual where we said, "Lord, reign in me." It comes down to the individual. When we stand before the Lord, we won't be standing, there will be crowds, but we'll be standing there as an individual. We'll be given an account individually to the King of the universe. And so today I pray by the Holy Spirit that if you have never been singled out, that that will be the case today. The next thing that I'd like to notice about this man who met the Lord and his life was changed is you see one picture of sin here, one picture of sin. We see that this man, in verse number 12, it says that he was full of leprosy. We know that in the Bible, leprosy is a picture of sin. Now, obviously, it was a very dreadful disease physically. In fact, trying to do a little bit of a study on leprosy and what it would have been like for a person to experience this awful disease of leprosy, just so that we can kind of put ourselves in the shoes of this man, what it would have been like meeting the Lord with this problem that he had. He probably started out simply feeling a little tired. Then his joints began to ache some. And as he would look around his body, these white spots would start to appear over different parts of his body. The white spots then would begin to harden into nodules. And these nodules would turn from white to pink to brown. And then they would start to become scaly. And then they would start to ooze a foul odor that would be very noticeable, that he could not get rid of. It would so spread all over his body that it is said that the person's face would become so disfigured that it would resemble that of a lion. Those nodules would even go internal, and even when they would come to his vocal cords, he would talk with a raspy sound. He would wheeze as he breathed because of these nodules even being on his vocal cords. His eyebrows would fall out. His hair would turn white. It was an awful disease that progressed slowly and just destroyed the person's nervous system. It was so bad that eventually the person's fingers and toes would fall off. As the person would walk, a lot of times as the disease progressed, they would leave footprints of the oozing sores that were on their feet. If they were to step on something sharp, by the time it affected their nervous system, they might get a cut on their foot to the point where they didn't even know they were cut. They never felt it, and begin bleeding and become to get those sores and infections develop and it affect whole limbs of their body. It would take an average of 9 long years for a person to finally succumb to leprosy, where they would just collapse in a pile of corruption. That's how devastating it was to have leprosy. And obviously there was no cure for leprosy in that day. And so when a person was diagnosed with leprosy, not only did it affect them physically, but it affected them socially as well. When the priest pronounced a person or diagnosed a person as having leprosy, that person would be forced to leave the camp. They had to go outside the city. They could not dwell with people. There was no going home for a last goodbye to his wife. There would be no giving a goodbye hug to his children. He would be forced to leave and have no more physical contact with his family. In fact, the only way his family could help him is they would have a designated place where the family could bring him food. They would put that food at the designated place. They would have to withdraw themselves, and then the leper could come and get that food in that way. They would have to rip their clothes, tear their clothes, as a sign that they had leprosy to warn others. As others began to approach them, they were required to yell out, "Unclean! Unclean!" Can you imagine what it was like? There were some people that, as they saw a leper coming, they would run and they would hide, or they would throw stones at him. And it was very devastating socially for a person to have leprosy. When the person was not allowed to be within 6 feet of a leper, and they say if the wind was blowing, they were not even to be allowed within 150 feet of a person who had leprosy. They were even required to wear a little cloth over their mouth as a leper as well, to prevent contamination to others. Can you imagine what it was like to be a leper? Can you imagine having no more physical contact with your loved ones and having to experience this dreadful disease physically and socially? And spiritually or religiously, it was even more devastating. Because not only did leprosy make a person cast out in a social way, they were cast out religiously as well. because they were barred from the temple. And you know, when is a person often going to turn to religion or to the Lord? Isn't it when they become helpless? A lot of times they become helpless where they're at their rope's end. They can do nothing else. And a lot of times that's the very time when a person might want to turn to the Lord. Not so with a leper. They were barred from the temple. They had no access. The priests, the Levites could do nothing. The law legislated against him. Can you imagine what it was like religiously to be a leper? Because not only did it affect the person this way, but they were considered not just sick, they were considered to be unclean. And so unclean that even their very presence in a room such as this, it would declare this whole building to be unclean. Even to the beams of the roof, one writer wrote. What a dreadful disease this was. And we see this disease, not just for the disease that it was, but it is a picture of sin. That's what we know from Scripture. Leprosy is a picture of sin. And just as this leprosy would grow and just bring that person into a pile of corruption, destroying him physically, that's exactly what sin does to a person spiritually. Sin doesn't just make us sick. It makes us unclean before a holy God. We think of this man who had leprosy, and every person, of course, in that time didn't have leprosy. But one thing we do know about sin is every person does have sin. The Scripture makes that very clear. You don't have to turn to these Scriptures, but let me just read a few to get us in the mindset of to know the seriousness of this picture of this man in the situation that he was facing and what it tells us spiritually about ourselves as well. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's every person. 2 Chronicles 6:36 says, "There is no man who does not sin." The Lord Jesus Christ was the only one who ever lived without sin. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, "There is not a just man upon the earth that does good and does not sin." James 4:17 says it in the reverse way, in a sense. It says, "To him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." So not only is it the things that we do, but it's the things that we fail to do that we're supposed to do. The Bible says that we've all sinned. 1 John 1:10 says this, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And we know God is not a liar." So we know that sin affects every single person. And so we might look at this one person who was a leper. In fact, he was full of leprosy, the Bible says. And we might think how awful that was for that one person. But when we see the picture that that represents, that affects every one of us. We can be thankful that none of us, I'm sure, in this room have leprosy. How thankful we are for that. But every one of us are born in sin. And every one of us are made unclean before a holy God because of sin. In fact, the Bible says, just like leprosy always resulted in death, unless, of course, God intervened. That's the way it is with sin. "For the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins shall die." The Bible says that our iniquities have separated us between us and our God. In fact, keep your Bible here in Luke 5, or your finger in Luke 5. But if you would turn to Revelation chapter 21. As we think about this picture of sin, Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 27. Revelation 21 and verse 27. "And there shall in no way enter into it anything that defiles." And of course, speaking of heaven, there's not going to be anything that would ever enter into heaven that would defile it. And we know that our sin has defiled us before a holy God. And just like that leper was barred from ever going into the temple, so a man with sin is barred from ever entering into heaven because it would defile it. It'll never happen. He was full of leprosy. It wasn't just that he was affected on the outside. It says he was full of leprosy. And when we think about sin, that's the way sin affects us. It's not something that is just on the outside. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. This is the picture that we have of this man with leprosy. This picture is a mirror for us not to feel sorry for him so much, but to see ourselves as God sees us. Not to be thankful that we don't have leprosy, but to realize we have a more serious problem than leprosy, and that is the picture that is presented for us here with sin, a very serious problem of sin. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." That's the seriousness of this picture of sin. But thankfully, we don't stop there in this passage back in Luke chapter 5. Because the next thing that we see is there was one possible solution for this man who was full of leprosy. One possible solution. Notice what does he say in verse number 12. Verse 12 says, "And it happened when he was in a certain city that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus." Aren't we glad that it didn't stop with him being full of leprosy? But he saw Jesus. Here was his one possible solution. Maybe this man had, when he was diagnosed with leprosy, maybe he had tried all the things that could possibly be done to try to rid the problem of his leprosy. Maybe he tried the best doctors, and maybe he prayed and prayed and nothing happened. And all of a sudden, he sees Jesus. Here is the one that he probably has heard about, who has done great miracles, who has done things that no one else has been able to do, healing people who have devastating diseases and such as that. He couldn't turn to the rabbis. He couldn't turn to the temple. He couldn't turn to the law that was given to them as for the Jews. There was nothing that he could do. He was hopeless. But his one possible solution was when he saw Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you've never felt singled out by the Holy Spirit of God, knowing that you have this leprosy, not leprosy, but what it represents, the problem of sin. And maybe the Holy Spirit is singling you out to make you see that problem of sin for the first time and how degrading it is and how defiling it is before a holy God. My prayer is that you'll see Jesus. That you'll see him as your one possible solution. People sometimes try religion. People try turning over a new leaf or maybe even being baptized, joining a church. None of those things will take away the problem of sin. The Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." He is the only way. Jesus Christ, he is the one possible solution to taking away the problem that defiles us before a holy God and bars our entrance into heaven. Aren't we thankful for that one possible solution? Jesus Christ. And so he saw this one possible solution. In verse number 12, we move on and we see the next thing is he fell before the Lord. Notice what happened. He saw Jesus and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." What did he do when he saw Jesus? When he saw his one possible solution, he became a prostrate sinner. He fell down before the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that? Have you ever fell down before Jesus Christ? I remember the day when I was singled out when I was 14 years old. I was not raised in church, had no interest in spiritual things, but I'm thankful that the God of the universe had an interest in me. And then even though there were crowds and crowds and multitudes of other people, I'm thankful that he singled me out. And he pointed me to the one possible solution. And when I was pointed to Jesus Christ, when I saw that he would love a sinner like me, that's exactly what I did, just what this leper did. I remember not literally falling down on my knees the first time, but I remember when I heard the gospel. In my heart, first, sitting in a green rocking chair, I'll never forget it, I turned to Jesus Christ. I met Jesus Christ, and he changed my life. I'll never forget that day. I remember going home after receiving Jesus Christ as my Savior. I remember going home and just feeling like a burden had been lifted off my heart. And I remember kneeling before my bed, and that's when I actually did get down on my knees. And I thought, this is so powerful. This is so real. I prayed again just to make sure. I know now that I didn't need to do that. But I got on my knees before the Lord, and I fell prostrate before him. Have you ever become a prostrate sinner? Maybe even not physically, but at least in your heart, falling on your face before the only one, the one possible solution, Jesus Christ. That's exactly what this man did. He fell on his face, prostrate. And you remember what he said? He said, "Lord, if you are willing, make me clean." Is the Lord willing to make us clean? I'm here to tell you, yes. Amen? He's willing. He is willing to make a filthy, dirty, deprived sinner clean. I'm so glad he's willing. I'm so glad that when that leper asked, "Are you, if you are willing, you can make me clean?" I'm telling you, he's willing to make you clean. In fact, he's so willing to make you clean that he made the way possible for you to be clean and cleansed of your sin. He left the glories of heaven. The God of the universe sent his Son to come down to this earth, to come down to live amongst sinners. The verse that spoke to my own heart was Romans 5:8. It says that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The amazing love of God. Is he willing to cleanse you from your sin? Yes, he is willing. He paid the penalty with his own blood so that we could be cleansed and forgiven of our sin. Let me ask you something. Why did this man say, "Lord," why did he not say, "Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me"? I mean, after all, he was sick with leprosy. Because this man knew he didn't need just healing, he needed cleansing. Because leprosy not only made a man sick, but it made them defiled. He knew he needed cleansing. I know of a man that I shared the gospel with, who told me that when he was a teenager, he went forward in a meeting just like this. And I asked him, I said, "Why did you go forward in that meeting?" And he said, "Because I knew I needed help. I was going through a lot of problems, and I knew I needed help with those problems." No mention of sin, no mention of needing Christ to save him, no mention of needing cleansing from his sin. How many people will do that very same thing today? Is they'll come to the Lord and say, "Yeah, I need help. I need your help. I need your help to get through this problem. I need your help to get through this sickness. I need your help with problems that I have in my life." But they've never come to the point to say, "Lord, I don't just need healing. I need cleansing. I need cleansing from my sin." I know that when I came face to face with Jesus Christ, when I met him, I knew I was a sinner. He didn't have to convince me of that. I knew I was a sinner. And I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit of God made that real to me, to see my need for cleansing. Have you ever come face to face with Jesus Christ and to realize you need to cry out to Him and say, Lord, cleanse me. Forgive me for my sin. Scripture says, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the heart of God. He's willing to. That's His desire. His desire is for every person in this room to be saved, to be forgiven, and to be cleansed, to be ready to be with Him in heaven. That's His desire. But He won't force anyone to make that choice. The next thing that we see is we see one plan of salvation. One plan. Look what He said in verse number 13. What did the Lord answer? He said, the Lord put out His hand and He touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. There was one plan for this man to have his leprosy cleansed, and the Lord did it. It had to be the Lord. He was the only one who could do it. And He reaches out and He touches this man and He says, I am willing, be cleansed of your leprosy. And what happened to his leprosy? Immediately it left him. It was gone. And so this was the plan for this man and how his leprosy was to be dealt with. You know, there was a different plan for Naaman, another leper that we meet in the Old Testament. For Naaman, it was a different plan. He was told to go down into the Jordan River where he would dip down seven times, and his leprosy was gone. And his flesh was restored as that of a little child, the Scripture says. That was his plan, to remove his leprosy. But there's only one plan to have our sins forgiven, and that is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who came to this earth and He died on the cross. We are the ones who deserve the punishment for sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ took that punishment for us. The Bible says Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the one plan for us to be saved. The Bible says to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. He will cleanse you from your sin. One plan for us to be saved. I remember reading about a man who had gone to jail, and he was convicted of murder, and he was in jail for 10 years. And then through new DNA testing and such as that, he was found to be innocent. And after 10 years, he was let go and he was released. Can you imagine having to serve for someone else's crime for 10 years of your life for one sin that another person had committed? And here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't pay for just one sin of one person and only received part of that judgment. He took the sins of the whole world, all of your sin. And I remember for the first time when I met the Lord Jesus Christ to realize that when He was dying on that cross, it wasn't just that He was dying for the world. He was dying for me. He was dying for my sin. He was dying for what defiled me before a holy God. Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures. He died for your sins as well. Have you ever come to that point where you realize that when He died, it was because of your sin? And He rose again, showing that He had paid in full the penalty for your sin and for mine. One plan of salvation. Then we see in verse number 13, what happened to him? The leprosy departed from him. One person saved. The leprosy departed from him. Here is a little phrase, four or five words long. The leprosy departed from him. Think of what that meant for that man. Can you imagine everybody else looking on this man? All those oozing sores, they're gone. His eyebrows have been restored. His hair turned back to its normal color. The disfigurement in his face is now completely gone. That foul odor has disappeared. He is restored. The leprosy, that is a picture of what it is for a person to be saved. That their sins are gone. The scripture says that when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are, what is it? Saved. We're saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Isn't that a wonderful truth to know? And here's a picture of that. I remember as clear as if it was yesterday when I met the Lord Jesus Christ and He saved my soul. I'll never forget. I'll never forget what it was to have my sins gone, the burden gone, and to know that He has promised to give me eternal life and to be cleansed before a holy God, to be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And not one of us deserves that, do we? Not one of us. It's all by the grace of God. By grace, through faith, are we saved. The Bible says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our sins and our transgressions from us." 1 John 1:7 says this, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son," listen to this, "cleanses us from all sin." Have you ever been cleansed of your sin? Here we see this one person who was singled out. We see this one picture of sin, which was leprosy. We see His one possible solution was Jesus Christ. This one plan of salvation where the Lord could save him, could cleanse him, rescue him from dying. And now it comes to this. One personal selection. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Maybe you have known about the Lord Jesus Christ all of your life, but maybe never met Him personally, asking Him to cleanse you of your sin. I wish I've told kids this many times if I taught kids. As I teach the kids, I tell them, you know, I wish I could choose Jesus Christ for you, but I can't. Only you can choose Jesus Christ. Only you can make, you can change a regular meeting to become a miraculous meeting where He changes your life. You can meet Jesus Christ and never be changed by Him. It's your choice. What is your choice? It's one personal selection. Will you choose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, it says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." My prayer for each person here is that if you have been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll rejoice in the wonderful cleansing that He provides of having your sins forgiven and being clothed and made right with the God of heaven and having that peace in your heart that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you've not had that changing, life-changing, eternity-changing experience by truly meeting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray that you'll fall on your knees and trust Him right now. You don't have to come forward in a meeting like this. You can do it right where you sit. Cry out to Him. Admit to Him that you're defiled by sin and that you want Him to save you and to cleanse you from your sin. Receive Him as your Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture says, and you will be saved. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before You and we're amazed when we think about how sin defiles us before You, a holy God. We know we would have no hope of ever coming into Your presence except for the Lord Jesus Christ stepped in. He took all that defiled me upon Himself. He took all the judgment, all of the wrath, all of the condemnation that I should have received for my sin. And He died for my sin, and He rose again. Thank You for loving an unworthy sinner like me. Thank you for changing my life. Thank you for cleansing me of my sin. I pray, Father, that if there's one here today, oh God, I pray the Holy Spirit will single them out, that they'll turn to him by faith, even where they're sitting right this moment, to receive cleansing and forgiveness from their only hope, your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you.